From Hollywood, California, we bring you Gene Herschel in a new Dr. Christian drama called Have a Heart. Presented for your enjoyment by the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline, and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other Vaseline specialties. It's probably a safe guess that there is not a woman listening tonight whose hair would not be benefited through the use of Vaseline Hair Tonic. Waves take better and last longer. The hair grows softer and more lustrous with regular Vaseline Hair Tonic care. Check this statement for yourself. Get a bottle of Vaseline Hair Tonic before you next shampoo your hair. A few minutes before the shampoo, massage Vaseline Hair Tonic generously on your scalp, following the simple directions enclosed with each bottle. Then, with your scalp well stimulated, steam the head for 10 minutes in towels wrung out in good hot water. Then shampoo and see for yourself what Vaseline Hair Tonic has done for your hair by the time you've dried and combed it. How much softer and how much more lustrous it looks. Remember, Vaseline Hair Tonic is different. It contains no harsh ingredients nor anything which might dry the scalp. It supplements the oils that nature intended to keep the hair live-looking and manageable. Yet, Vaseline Hair Tonic is extremely economical. The 40-cent bottle contains enough Vaseline Hair Tonic for several scalp treatments. Get a bottle today at any drugstore. Well, here we are back in Hollywood, after several weeks in New York, with a brand new set of good Dr. Christian stories, which Gene Herschel has selected for you. Tonight's play is called Have a Heart, and the scene is a shady street in River's End, bordered by a neat white picket fence. Old Will Grannis is leaning over the gate, peering excitedly down the street. There's the doctor's car parked in front of the Ives house, and the doctor is no doubt condoling with the youngest Ives boy, importunately laid up with a broken leg, on this day of all days when the circus is due in town. The doctor's coming out of the Ives house now, down the steps, across the walk to his waiting car. He calls out cheerily.
Good morning, Mr. Grannis.
Oh, morning, doctor.
Going to be a hot day.
Scorcher.
Just listen to those locusts.
Well, that's better than having it rain and spoil the parade and everything.
Sure.
I was just wondering if I could see anything of the parade from here.
I'm afraid not.
The paper said it was coming along Cedar Street.
Only as far as Glen Avenue. Then it turns and goes back to the circus grounds.
Ah, guess that means I'll have to miss it.
Oh, Glen Avenue is only a few blocks from here.
It's uphill, though, and I can't climb hills.
Well, I'll give you a lift.
Thanks, but I... Well, it ain't just getting there. It'd mean standing around the crowd. I wouldn't dare.
Well, of course, you know what's best for you.
If the wind's in the right direction, I might be able to hear the band, even if I can't see nothing.
That's what I told young Tommy Ives, but he didn't seem to comfort him much.
How is he?
Oh, he's getting along, but the cast on his leg is very uncomfortable.
Poor kid.
Yes, it's a shame. Last year he had mumps. Just as this time.
I remember. Both sides.
Pretty heartbreaking to miss the circus 2 years in succession when you're only 10.
I was 12 the last time I went.
The last time?
Yes. I wanted to get a job helping water the elephants like the other boys. My sister Hetty wouldn't let me. She bossed me even in them days. I wish now I had. Because the next winter I come down with inflammatory rheumatism. And that was the end of circuses and everything else for me.
You mean that you have...
It left me with a bad heart.
What kind of bad heart?
Oh, I don't know exactly. It leaked or skipped or murmured or done something it shouldn't.
You never got Norwood?
Never.
Well, those heart conditions in adolescence sometimes clears up time, but rest in good care.
Well, nobody could have had better care than I've had, that's certain. Hetty's given up her whole life to looking out for me, seeing I don't overdo or nothing.
You've been examined, of course, from time to time.
Ah, what's the use of spending money to be told what you already know?
But you...
Will? Will, Granny?
There's Hetty now. Yes, Hetty?
Don't you know better than to be standing out there in that boiling hot sun? You're likely to get a stroke.
Oh, well, if I do, I got a doctor right handy by.
What? Oh, it's Dr. Christian. I didn't recognize him.
Good morning, Miss Grannis.
Good morning. Will, Come on in out of the sun.
I'm just chatting for a minute with the doctor.
Well, come up on the porch where it's shady and you can sit down.
Will you, doctor?
I'm afraid I must be running along. I have a number of calls to make before my office hours.
It must be mighty exciting being a doctor, going from house to house, seeing folks.
Oh, sometimes it's very humdrum.
Well, I don't see how it could be. Of course, never having had any kind of a job myself,
really?
All right, I'm coming.
Do you suppose your good sister could be prevailed upon to give me a drink?
Depends on what you mean by a drink.
Oh. Just plain H2O.
Oh, then I'm sure she would. Come on in.
Take it easy now, coming up the steps.
I ain't hurrying.
Here, sit down. Get your breath.
The doctor wants to know, can he have a drink of water?
Why, of course.
Well, never mind if you're busy.
Oh, I'm not busy.
Oh, you were just about to shell these peas for dinner. I know.
No, you're wrong. I brought him out here for Will to do.
Oh, so he's the pea sheller of the family, huh?
Yes, and the bean stringer and the potato parer. And I wind the clocks. Oh, you'd be surprised how useful I am.
You do a lot, considering.
A lot of sitting around.
At least you have time to read. That's one thing I envy you.
Oh, I read aloud to him every evening.
While he smokes? What luxury.
Well, no. I mean, I don't smoke.
No?
I can't, on account of my heart.
Who told you so?
Well, I've always supposed.
Hmm.
It would be bad for me, wouldn't it?
That all depends.
On what?
On what your particular heart condition is.
You mean there's some conditions where it wouldn't matter?
Now listen, Will. You've gone all your life without smoking. Don't start thinking about it now.
But Hetty, suppose...
Smoking's a dirty habit anyway.
Tobacco is a filthy weed. It was the devil sowed the seed. It burns your pockets, stinks your clothes, and makes a chimney of your nose.
There. You hear that, Will?
In spite of which, I smoke my pipe every day and like it.
Tell me, Doctor, do you
Dr.
think...
Dr. Christian isn't making a professional call, Will. He stopped in for a drink of water, which I'm going to get him right away.
I'm sorry, Doc. I didn't mean to be pumping you for free advice.
Oh, that's all right.
It's just that I... Well, it's so long since I've talked with a doctor.
How long?
Oh, Lordy, I can't even remember. I must have been about 19 or 20 the last time I had a real going over.
And you're how old now?
Be 70 my next birthday.
Hmm.
Hetty's 3 years older, though she wouldn't thank me for telling you. She's always been...
Oh, thank you, thank you.
I hope it's cold enough.
My, but that hits the spot. I was dry as a coward bridge.
Nothing quite so good as a plain water when you're thirsty.
Unless it's pink lemonade.
Oh, dreadful stuff.
Do they still sell it at circuses?
Sure.
I'd like to taste it again.
Couldn't you bring him some, Miss Granny's?
I?
Well, you're going to the circus this afternoon, aren't you?
Why, I... No, I hadn't expected to.
She thinks she ought to stay home with me.
Oh, nonsense. What's the use of your both missing it?
Well, that's what I tell her.
Well, I've always made Will my first consideration.
Well, then, do him the favor of going.
What?
So he can hear all about it afterwards.
Yes.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Look, there's a ticket for the afternoon show. I bought it really for myself, but... I can't possibly get away to go, so you take it.
But I can't.
No but about it. You're going to the circus.
But Will.
Oh, he'll be all right.
Sure, don't you worry about me. I'll shell peas and read the paper and take a nap.
Peanuts, popcorn, lemonade.
Well, Dr. Christian.
Good afternoon.
Well, I didn't expect to see you back here again today.
Oh, I brought you something.
You did? What is it?
Peanuts.
No.
Yes, sir. Fresh roasted peanuts, 5 cents a bag, straight from the circus ground. Oh, I was driving by and I couldn't resist buying some.
Don't tell me you got them in that big black case.
No, that's something else. The peanuts are in my pocket.
Well, come on in and help me eat them. It's cooler in the house than on the porch at this time of day.
Your sister got off all right?
Yeah, an hour ago.
Good.
What's in that case? A sewing machine or a typewriter?
Neither. It's a cardiograph machine.
Cardiograph?
Ever hear of one?
No.
Well, this machine records the action of the heart.
Oh, like an X-ray?
No. These are motion pictures, you might say.
Motion pictures? Why, I don't quite see you.
Well, wait a minute, just to show you here. Here's some pictures I made yesterday of a patient's heart.
Huh. They look like these charts showing how the prices move in the stock market.
Yeah, breaks and all.
Why, there are breaks in the line, ain't there?
At regular intervals.
Is that where the heart misses a beat?
Something like that. You see, in this particular case, the patient is suffering from a ventricular block.
What would my heart look like on paper, do you suppose?
Want to see?
Well, I was just...
Oh, I'll do a cardiograph of you if you like.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that.
Oh, I'll be glad to. In fact, just between you and me, I'm looking for excuses to use this machine.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's brand new. I've only had it a few weeks, and it's perfectly marvelous. The most wonderful thing of its kind that's ever been invented.
Well, of course, if you really want to take a picture of me.
Oh, a complimentary sitting. No obligation.
Thanks.
Then, if you like the proofs, you can have others made up to give away to your friends as valentines. Written straight from the heart. All right, now. You lie down over there on the sofa, and I'll get the apparatus set up.
Do I have to get undressed?
Yeah, just roll back your sleeves and roll up one leg of your trousers and open up your shirt a bit.
Okay.
Now, let's see. First, I'm going to listen to your heart. Then I'll do the cardiogram. By the time you have a plate attached to your wrists and to your ankle, you'll feel as if you were going to be electrocuted. But I can assure you it's a perfectly painless proceeding. Now, let's see. You'll have to take your watch off. And if there's a radio in the room, we must attach that. And then I'll get busy with this. Judy.
Well, did you get to the circus last night?
No.
Oh, Dr. Christian.
I came back to the office to read some cardiograms I made in the afternoon.
Oh.
Now that I've read them, I don't know what to do.
Call in a heart specialist.
Oh, there's nothing the matter with the man.
What? And you missed the circus for that?
Yes, his heart is as good as yours and mine.
Ah. Who is this patient?
It's old Will Granny's, Judy.
Oh, Miss Hetty's brother?
Yes. You know him?
Well, no, not really. I've seen him, of course, lots of times, sitting on the porch or in the window.
Where he spent the last 57 years.
57 years? No.
Yes. Ever since he was 12 years old, Will Grannis has hardly stirred from that house.
But why?
He's never been able to work or play or go places. Or do any of the things that other men do. His whole life has been spent sitting around, being waited upon hand and foot. He's never even dared smoke or take a drink. He thinks his heart is bad, you see.
And there's really nothing the matter with it, huh?
No, not a thing. Oh, there was once, no doubt, but whatever the trouble was, he's outgrown it long since.
How awful not to have known. I mean...
Yes.
Well, think of all he's missed.
The best things in life. That's why I can't bear to tell him.
Whose fault is this?
It's hard to say.
But I...
Well, you described it just now as Miss Hetty's brother. I guess that's partly the answer.
You mean that she's made him believe that...
Oh, it hasn't been deliberate, of course, on her part, but she's the kind who enjoys doing things for others, and she's had nobody else.
Oh, the whole thing's tragic.
Oh, if he was younger, he could still make some kind of a life for himself, but at his age...
How old is he?
Almost 70.
Why do you tell him?
Well...
Must you? I mean, is it your professional duty, or...?
No... No, he didn't ask me for an opinion. I volunteered to take the cardiographs just to... frankly, just to satisfy my own curiosity.
Oh? Well, then don't tell him.
Let him go on, imagining himself an invalid for the rest of his life.
He's only got a few more years to live.
Yes, it might be 10 or 15.
Oh.
10 more years, sitting in a rocking chair, helping his sister shell peas, his greatest exertion winding the clock.
No, that wouldn't be fair.
Of course, he's used to it.
Even so, that's
and
no reason.
He's not unhappy. Not actively unhappy.
Oh, but...
Not nearly as unhappy as I'm afraid he'll be when he learns the truth.
Then you are going to tell him,
huh? Of course.
When?
Right now.
I'm glad.
Well, there's nothing else I can do. Oh, put the pictures in my bag, will you, Judy?
All right.
I'll take them along.
I'd like to be there to see his face when you tell him.
It's Miss Hetty's face I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
I just wonder...
What?
Whether I'd better take that cardiograph machine along... Do we caught the shock?
It's intermission now in our Dr. Christian play, and while waiting for the next act, we would like to have you meet a guest who has something to say that we think will interest you.
I have three growing sons and a husband to care for, and you know how men are when they catch cold. Why, I used to dread the coming of winter just for that reason. But a friend told me about Vaseline jelly, and am I thankful. Now, whenever any one of us feels a cold coming on, we put a little Vaseline jelly up each nostril. This lubricates the nasal passages and certainly helps to ease that stuffy, dry feeling. And I've discovered another grand use for Vaseline jelly. For a dry, raspy throat that so often follows a cold, there's nothing like a teaspoonful of Vaseline jelly. Vaseline jelly has been such a help to me that I'm certainly glad to tell others about it.
Yes, when you have a cold, you can depend on Vaseline jelly for relief. It forms a thin, protective film that lubricates the nasal passages. It soothes the irritated membranes and promotes quick healing. Vaseline jelly is absolutely pure, absolutely safe. Use it freely. Always keep a convenient 10-cent jar or tube in your medicine cabinet. The next scene of Jean Hersholt's Dr. Christian drama, Have a Heart, is laid in the Granis sitting room. Miss Hetty is there talking to the doctor, and she seems upset.
I don't believe it.
But my dear Miss Granis,
we had the best possible medical opinion for my brother.
No doubt, but that was 50 years ago, remember?
57 years.
Conditions changed in that length of time.
Why, to this day, Will can't go up a flight of steps without getting short of breath. He knows that himself.
It might be partly mental.
Yes, you've always scared me so about stairs, Hetty.
I scared you?
Well, in any case, the cardiograph tells the story.
Oh, that wavy line could mean anything.
It means just one thing, Miss Grannis, that your brother's heart is normal.
Normal?
I still don't believe it.
Hetty!
I've taken care of Will all his life, Dr. Christian. I've watched every step he's taken, every breath he's drawn. I know his condition better than any doctor.
Well, all I can do is to give you my opinion. And the result of the cardiograph?
Neither of which we asked for.
Hetty, please.
You came here quite uninvited when my back was turned and subjected my brother to an examination.
Well, he was entirely willing.
Will's always done whatever he was told to.
Not anymore, I ain't.
Will.
From now on, I'm doing as I please, as I gosh darn please.
Will.
I'm free. Well?
It's not true.
It is true. The doctor says so.
Dr. Critcher's not a heart specialist.
Well, whatever.
I'd be only too glad to have you consult a heart specialist if you'd be better satisfied.
It's the only thing that would satisfy me.
All right, then.
We'll send for one.
I'll go to one. I'll go see that big heart man in Chicago. What's his name? Egbert.
Travel all the way to Chicago? Why, you couldn't, Will. You'd die on my hand.
No, I wouldn't. 'Cause you ain't going.
What?
I'm going alone.
Will.
I'm packing up and leaving today.
No, you can't. You mustn't. Oh, Dr. Christian.
Don't argue.
But you can't.
I said don't argue. I'm going, and that's all there is to it.
Now, Will, you mustn't get so excited. Your heart.
I've got no heart. Can't you get that through your head? I'm well. I'm okay. I'm 100%. Where's the suitcase? Go get me a suitcase. No. Gosh darn it, I'll get it myself.
I'm afraid I'll have to ask you to do this letter over again, Judy.
Hmm?
There are several mistakes in it.
Oh, I'm sorry. My mind was miles away.
Thinking of some man?
Yes. Old Will Granis.
The worm that turned.
Into a fire-breathing dragon. What do you suppose he's doing now?
Well, local last night and had an appointment with Dr. Egbert at 10 o'clock this morning.
Dr. Christian's office? Yes. Who? Oh, Miss Granis. Yes. The doctor's right here.
It's Hattie.
Oh, all right. Hello? Hello, Miss Granis. What? What did you say? I'm sorry, I can't understand you. Could you talk a little more slowly? What? Gone. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute, I'll be right over.
What's happened?
Will. She's just had a wire from Chicago.
Yes.
Saying that he's gone.
Dead?
No, to Hollywood. Just try to calm yourself, Miss Granny.
Calm myself. When my brother is 5,000 feet up in the air, flying to Hollywood.
He took a plane?
Here's the telegram.
Let's see. Eckwood confirms Christian's diagnosis. I'm going on...
Binge.
Binge. To celebrate. Start by plane today for California. Well, he doesn't say Hollywood.
Well, where else would it be but Hollywood if it's a binge?
Well, you might be right.
I'll notify the Hollywood police at once.
What for?
Why, to hold him till I can go out there and bring him back.
He doesn't need anyone to bring him back. If he can go out alone, he can come home alone.
But suppose he doesn't.
Doesn't what?
Come back. Suppose he stays out there.
He can't stay very long without money.
Oh, he's got plenty of money. He's drawn his entire balance from the bank.
Are you sure?
I called the bank just before you came in.
Oh.
Why, with what he's got, Will could stay away for a year.
Then let him.
What?
He wants a fling, let him have it.
But he's 70 years old.
Not too old to sow a few wild oats.
Dr. Christian.
You should be glad, Miss Hattie.
Glad to see him make a fool of himself. Kill himself, maybe.
He won't.
He's crazy.
Well, wouldn't you be if you'd been just let out of jail after a life sentence?
No. And I did everything for him. And now he treats me like this. I gave up my whole life to him.
And reveled in it. You wouldn't have had things any different if you could.
How can you say that?
Because I know your kind. You're one of those women who are never had to sacrifice themselves for somebody.
Well, I'm unselfish, if that's what you mean.
Are you?
Well, my friends all say they never saw such a devoted and unselfish sister in all their lives.
All right, then, prove it.
What?
Let your brother do as he pleases for once in his life. He'll do it anyway. But let him enjoy himself at it. Don't try to bring him back.
Leave him alone.
Yes, and he'll come home like Mary's lamb. Or was it the prodigal son?
How high is it, Dr. Christian?
Normal.
Oh.
If anything, a little below normal.
But it was up a few weeks ago.
Oh, come now. That was months ago, when you had that letter from Will with the pictures of Bally.
Yes.
That's nothing. That sent my blood pressure up a bit, too.
Then you don't think that...
I'll go.
Oh, thank you.
Yes? Will!
Dr. Christian!
Well, I'll be...
What are you doing here? Hattie ain't sick, is she?
No, no. Much to a disappointment.
Good. You know, I was
afraid...
Here
is, Doctor.
Tell
him. Who's there?
It's me, Hattie.
Who?
Me.
Will.
Yes.
Why?
Hello.
I...
How are you?
Oh, I thought at first it was your ghost.
Pretty healthy-looking ghost, I'd say. My gosh, man, you look 10 years younger than when you went away.
And I feel it, believe me.
Well, you put on weight and... You're brown as a berry.
Tain't just in my face and neck, never. It goes all the way down.
Will.
I got this tan in the South Sea Islands, laying on the beach with nothing on but a sarong.
Oh.
That was about the only place where I did do much laying around, though. The rest of the time I was on the jump. Do you know how many countries I visited in the past year? 27.
No.
Yes, sir, 27. And sampled the food and drink of every one of them.
It's a wonder you're still alive.
Say, Doc. Did you ever try this Mexican drink they call tequila?
I've heard of it.
Well, I'll give you a demonstration sometime. I brought a bottle back with me. Now, you take some salt.
I didn't know you went to Mexico.
Oh, there's lots of things you don't know about my trip.
I worried about you so, Will.
What for?
I was so afraid something would happen to you in one of those foreign countries. Bubonic plague or...
Or matrimony.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Well, I did. I looked them over pretty carefully.
Will?
And then decided against it.
Oh, thank heaven.
There was a little gal in Delhi, though.
Where?
The capital of India.
Oh, you mean Delhi.
No, sir. Delhi.
They taught us in school that it was Delhi.
Yeah, well, that's old-fashioned. It's Delhi now. Rhymes with jelly.
Oh.
Himalayas has gone out of style, too. It's Himalayas now.
Yes.
And you don't say Port Said, it's Port Said.
The wickedest city in the world.
Nah, that's an exaggeration. Why, I saw places in Marseilles and Singapore that...
I'm glad you had a good time, Will. You certainly were entitled to it.
Good time? Listen, Doc, I packed more fun into this 1 year than most folks have in a lifetime. Why, if I never stir out of this house again, I'm still ahead of the game.
Well, that's wonderful.
I hope now you will be satisfied to stay at home.
Well, I guess I'll have to, because I'm broke.
You've spent all your money?
Every cent. Nothing left from old age.
I suppose I'll be expected to provide.
You wouldn't mind, would you, Hetty, taking care of me?
Well...
I'll do all I can to be useful. Shell peas, wind the clocks.
You smoke?
Yes, but only tobacco.
Only?
Yes. But the next time I go around the world, I'm going to try opium. And this stuff that the Arabs call hashish.
Will, please. After all...
After all, brother, have a heart.
So the curtain rings down on another Dr. Christian drama. Our star, Jean Hersholt, will be out to greet you in person in just a moment. Meanwhile, I want to say one more word about the products that make the program possible. Remember, there is nothing quite like Vaseline jelly to ease a stuffy head cold. Keep a jar or tube always in your medicine cabinet and use it freely when anyone in the family feels a cold coming on. Use Vaseline jelly also for cuts, burns, scrapes, and scratches, for chapping and chafing. It is absolutely pure, absolutely safe to use. So be sure to look for the trademark Vaseline, your assurance of getting the genuine product. Buy some at your druggist tomorrow and ask him, too, about the specialties. Vaseline carbolated jelly, Vaseline borated jelly, Vaseline camphor ice, and Vaseline lip ice. The cast of tonight's play includes Rosemary DeCamp as Judy Price, Harry Humphrey as Old Will Grannis, and Jane Morgan as Miss Hetty Grannis. And, of course, our star, Jean Hersholt, in the country doctor role he has made famous. Here is Jean Hersholt as Dr. Christian. Dr. Christian, what kind of story have you selected for next week's play?
I'm going to tell you a story which I call Angel Unaware, and it concerns the folks who live in the shanties down in Paradise Flats along the river. I'm sure you'll enjoy meeting Duke Angel. I've always got a kick out of him myself. Big, lovable, dumb fellow who cuts all our lawns and teaches our kids to swim. Until next Tuesday, then, I'll say good night.
To the Boy Scouts, who this week celebrate their 29th anniversary, Dr. Christian and the makers of Vaseline products extend congratulations and best wishes for the continued growth and success of this fine, constructive movement. Don't miss Jean Hersholt's play next week called Angel Unaware. It promises some excitement and some laughs, and we know you will enjoy it. This is Arthur Gilmore bidding you good night. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.